In good Blue Peter fashion, I need three volunteers, three willing people. Let's have a look. Who shall we have this morning? Trevor, you look like a likely lad. And you, sir? Don't know your name. You're very brave. Everybody else here is thinking, who is this person who... Right, son in the middle, Trevor?
Yeah.
And, sorry, what's your name?
David.
David, excellent name. Up here? And we need a third likely lad. Let's... Teddy! Excellent. Right up here next to Trevor. Okie dokie. Right, now I have got some clues as to who these people are. I'll give you a bit of a hint. They're Bible characters, okay? So we're not talking Disney. We're not talking Frozen or anything else like that. If I knew what that was. Okay, we're talking Bible characters. Let me just have a drink. Got to keep him on his toes. Right, where's my bag of goodies? Okay, just because your skills of interpretation and discernment aren't great, I'm going to give you some clues. You want to hold that, Teddy? No, at the bottom. Okay, well observed. What else have we got in here? Likely to be at the bottom. Oh, hang on. Hold on to that. Shh. Can you hold that as well? Right. Without shouting out, hands up. Whom might that be? There's two gentlemen over here who know. I'm going to run, or maybe I'm not. It's too hot.
I think it's Simon Peter.
Simon Peter. Why might you think it's Simon Peter?
Because of the rooster. He denied Jesus three times. The fishing rod, he was a fisherman.
Excellent.
And the keys, I suppose, the keys of church?
Keys of heaven.
Heaven.
Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 is all about that. Was it 16, 19? I can't remember. Whichever way around it is, Catherine's laughing at that because she knows what that's all about. Well done. Do you want to sit down a minute, Teddy? Because otherwise you're going to be standing there for some time. Right, who have I got next? Ah, right. Trevor, could you put that on? Gets a bit trickier, by the way. Right, okay. Let me just do this up. Now, let's see what it says on the air freshener. Air freshener overwhelms all known smells. This is a whale. Oh, yeah. It's actually a fourth one. It's a bit trickier. Now then. I'll give you a clue. That's a Jaffa. No, come on. Somebody must have an idea. Oh, hang on. There's something else I forgot. What's that? It's a steel, is what we call it. Okay, it's a knife sharpener. Can you hold that as well, Trevor? That'd be really good. Come on, there must be some educated people around here who read their Bibles, read the Acts of the Apostles. Come on, Tony, any ideas? It's Simon the Tanner. Why is it Simon the Tanner?
Well, because he would be doing a very smelly job.
Yeah.
So he'd need the air freshener, he'd need something to sharpen his knives with, and something to keep the muck off his shirt, I guess.
And what about the whale?
Well, I guess the whale was just frolicking around in the sea somewhere.
Okay, Tony, I don't like to say this to you, but there's a little theological issue here. think about 800 years prior.
Jonah?
Jonah, okay. So what happened to Jonah? He was swallowed by a whale, probably a bit bigger than that one. But where, what is one of the towns mentioned in that story?
Tarshish.
Tarshish, not that one.
Jaffa.
Joppa. Joppa or Jaffa, as they call it these days. So this is Simon the Tanner. On the pictures earlier, there was a picture of his house. We visited it when we were in Israel. Tel Aviv, okay. It's actually, well, it was there before Tel Aviv was. Tel Aviv wasn't there 100 years ago, 120 years ago. It was just sand dunes. David, right now, then who are you supposed to be? Let me think. What am I left with? Ah, right. Yes. This was a bit trickier to think about. Do you want to hold on to that? You would probably wear it on your feet. This was more difficult. I scratched my head for a bit, and then I thought, I know what I've got upstairs, hidden away. A picture drawn by Sue Ainsley Raffle many years ago of this. Can you hold it up? Who's that? It's a Roman soldier. It's actually a generic Roman soldier, okay? You probably won't be able to work out his rank from that. A centurion, yeah. The story today is about these three people: Peter, Simon the Tanner, and a centurion called Cornelius. He's actually described as being part of the Italian regiment. He's a well thought of Roman, based at Caesarea, which was like Roman HQ on the coast, okay? But he was, like all the centurions in the story of, or in the Gospels, well spoken about, well thought of. And they were kind of a bit like the glue that held the Roman occupation together. Okay? It's interesting that they're all well spoken of and they all come out really as admirable people in the stories we have in the Gospels. So, we have these three people and now we're going to move on to what actually happened. Okay? So, keep with me. Could I have an able assistant, Holly, just to hold that up so that you know this is... Hang on, we're the wrong way around. You need to go that way. Joppa's that end. And Catherine, could you just come up and hold Caesarea? Up. Thank you. Spelt correctly, I hope. Okay. So this is what happened. The action starts, really, in Cornelius's household. Now, Cornelius is what they call a God-fearing, he's Roman, he's not Jewish, but he's a God-fearing man. He worships one God, and that's significant because when you say you worship one God at those days, it was significant because most people worship gods, small g, plural. Because if they wanted another God or they just heard about one that would be an extra insurance policy, they just added them in. So they worshipped numerous gods, but this guy, Cornelius, was a good egg. He worshipped the one true God, prayed, and was generous to poor people. And actually, all his household was influenced that way. So I need some household. Do we have anybody willing to be some household? Come on, Hugh, you could be household. Marilyn, you could be household. Anybody else? Do you have any small household? No? Okay, Hugh can be household over here. Over here next to David and Hugh. Okay. Ooh, up you get. That's it. Excellent. One day when Cornelius was praying. Yeah, that's it. God spoke to him and said, send somebody over to Joppa, about 30 miles down the coast, and go to a house and find Simon Peter, because I want him to come back and tell you something very important. This voice was actually God speaking to him by the Holy Spirit, okay? And so, quick as a flash, he got up, got three guys, actually, to go over to Joppa to find Simon Peter and find out what the information was. Right, so he actually sent two servants and one of his soldiers who was a devout follower of Jesus as well. or worshiper of God, shall we say. Okay, so you leave, go down that way, okay, and you can hang around the back, because it's going to take a day or two to get there, so you go with them. Oh no, you stay here, sorry. So Hugh and Marilyn can depart. Right then, over here, something else is happening. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, as it were, Simon Peter, that's Peter, obviously, the disciple Peter, is at Simon the Tanner's house. No, it's strange, actually, he's at Simon the Tanner's house, because although Simon the Tanner is Jewish, on the whole, you wouldn't really want to associate with them. In my research, I discovered what they used in the tanning process. It's pretty disgusting, okay? Think dog dirt, okay, and you're there. You needed to be by the sea. And his house, it says three times in Acts of the Apostles, it was by the sea. It was because of the smell, okay? And if you've been to Tel Aviv, we've been twice, what you notice about that end of the Mediterranean is the wind, okay? So there was no way you were going to be around Simon the Tanner's house unless you were pretty close and smell it, because the wind would just carry it away. The other thing you needed to make to tan hides for clothes and so on was plenty of salt water, which there would be. Okay, so despite people probably frowning on it, Peter was staying with Simon the Tanner and had been for some days, because just before that, as you do, he just raised Tabitha from the dead. You know, it gets a few verses in Acts. But he'd already done that. So anyway, he thought, well, I'll go and hang out at Simon's house. And actually, he was showing something very important. He was showing that you could relate to people who previously you perhaps wouldn't have done. Because under the new arrangements, once Jesus died and rose again, that people were going to be acceptable to God because of what they were like inside, not on the outside. So meanwhile, Peter's goes up to the roof and he falls asleep. Begins to fall asleep, okay. In the meantime, what he's done, he's sent downstairs and said, by the way, I'm hungry, could I have something to eat, okay? So he falls asleep, or it says he goes into a trance, and something happens, very important. He actually has a vision, and he has it three times, and this is what it's all about. Tony, could you give me a hand for this, please? Okay, and... Jenny, thank you. Right, okay. So, in this sheet are a crustacean, a bird, a raccoon. I think one's gone. A turtle, a starfish. Ooh, hang on. Small camel. A robin, another small camel. This is where Jonathan thinks I haven't seen those for 20 years, but never mind. Oh, hang on. Oh, and another one, crustacean of some sort. These things aren't normally eaten by Jewish people. They've been told in, I think it's Leviticus 11, don't eat those things. It's not a good idea. I want you to be separate in the way you eat things, and your diet is going to be separate. Now, if you have a dietary problem, you know that means separation. You know if you can't eat gluten, you're at one side. Okay, you're separated off, sadly. And it is sad, isn't it, sometimes, when you see people having to just eat a very limited diet. But the Jews had a very limited diet. Well, it wasn't that limited, but it was significantly limited, so they couldn't just eat whatever was in front of them. So this sheet came down three times. Teddy, could you just be alert a minute, just to see what's happening? So could you just want to look shocked? That's good. And again, shocked even more. And yet again, another shock. Excellent. Okay. God said to him, yeah. God said, these things are clean. And Peter, of course, being the foot in mouth candidate that he was, said, surely not, Lord. And God explained to him that don't make something unclean that I am now making clean. Okay. people are coming to see you, and you're going to have to go with them, and this is what's going to happen next. So, where are we? Right, Hugh, you need to make your way, because just at that time, Marilyn, just at that time, you're looking for Peter's house. Peter goes downstairs and says, are you looking for me?
I'm looking for you.
Exactly, you're looking for you. So at that point, they explain that Cornelius has sent them because God has said, and he wants him to go back to my house over in Caesarea. Okay, so another day's travel at least by foot and, I don't know, whatever else they use, wheelbarrows or whatever. We did have camels early, but I think they're in the sheet, so a bit small. So they stayed overnight. Interesting, because these people are Gentiles staying in a Jew's house with Simon the Tanner and Peter. So we've got there another barriers coming down gradually. People are beginning to be accepted. So next thing that happens is next day they set off for Caesarea in Cornelius' house. Right, you're going that way. You're going that way to Cornelius's. Okay, hang on, you're here. Cornelius, meantime, and you've got to use imagination here because it's too hot to move. Cornelius, meantime, has rounded up all his friends and neighbours because they want to hear what Peter says. And Peter's going to give them the good news of the gospel. He's going to explain to them for the first time that actually the good news wasn't just for the Jews, okay? Now, I don't know how far that had like sort of sunk in to people like the disciples and the early believers who had been Jews, but suddenly the doors and the gates were going to be open to everywhere, to everybody throughout the world. Because when you think back, obviously, the Great Commission, it says to all nations. And in other parts of the scriptures, even right back in Genesis, where it talks about Abraham being a blessing to all nations after him, it wasn't going to be just for Jewish people. If you're sat here today and you have no Jewish heritage at all, this was for you. Okay, that's a good number, as I would guess. That, what happened on that day, that in that scenario, was for everybody. Okay, so at that point, Peter, let's stand up here, Teddy. The man who was a fisherman and who had denied Jesus 3 times, suddenly is confidently declaring the gospel. Anybody like to just fill me in on what happens next? He declares the gospel to them. 2 significant things happen.
They're all saved, the whole household, and filled with the Holy Spirit.
They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what do? They do something wet.
They get baptized.
So, we have the roots of our faith as non-Jewish believers in this scenario. Okay. So, does everybody want to sit down? You can leave your goods and chattels behind. Thank you very much, everybody. You can put it in the bag, Trevor. Thank you.
Father, just thank you that you're amazing. That you're a glorious King. That you're creator of heaven and earth. But you are our friend. You're our Lord. You're our Savior. You love us and you care for us. And we just thank you that you are an amazing, beautiful God. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I think we're just going to, Pauline's going to resume where she left off. I'll just pray with her. Father, just thank you for Pauline, Father. Thank you for the things that you've put on our heart for this morning, Father. And so, Father, just pray that for ourselves, that our hearts would be open to what you've got to say, that your words would take root They were your words, and they come with your authority and your power to change. So we thank you. Just pray that you would bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I won't be long, so we can go and have hopefully a cold drink. I just want to emphasize just three very short points in a minute that we've alluded to through the drama, okay? But first of all, I'm going to just read the scripture. It's in Acts 9, 10, and 11. And it's kind of repeated again because Peter ends up going to Jerusalem and explaining to those in authority what's happened, because this is a massive step change and a change in their thinking, that actually the good news about Jesus just wasn't going to be for Jewish people or people who became Jews. And the whole argument about what to do about Jewish practice was now going to be blown wide open, because the gospel, the good news of Jesus, was going to be for everybody. So I'm just going to pick up in Acts chapter 11, verse 5. And this is when he's talking to them up in Jerusalem, which is a bit like Apostles HQ for the early Christians. Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." I replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice spoke from heaven a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and then it was pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in the house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." As they began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, and he came on us at the beginning, as he came, had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto faith." Okay, just three things. Hope you've got already that the message was for everybody, not just the Jews. Because of that, we are here today. It wasn't just going to be spread amongst the Jewish people around the Mediterranean area. It was going to be to a much wider place than that. And actually, we find out later that Peter actually writes two letters, letters of Peter, to the churches in Asia Minor, which is actually what we call modern-day Turkey. So he later takes this further and begins to almost pastor this church in Asia Minor that he writes to. The second thing is that separateness of the food regulations was over, and they were to be amongst people in a different way. They weren't to be separated through these food regulations. Now, obviously, it's almost been like a sort of hallmark of the Jewish faith and other religions as well. Their diet defines them in some degree. And it's as if God's saying, it was good to be separate, to be marked out in that way by what you ate, but now we're in a different situation, and I want you to be marked out in a different way by your hearts, not by external practice. It was interesting, the reason we have pictures of Israel and Haifa and Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and all these places and Joppa is because our son lives out there at the moment. He's coming home at the end of the month, finally. And while he was there earlier in the year, he went off to Jordan for a few days, as you do. Got on the bus, changed at Nazareth bus station. Apparently that's what you do. Got over the border into Jordan, not Syria. And went to see Petra and all these places. So I said, what was it like? You know, different place. I mean, we don't have that same sort of thing because we don't go abroad by just crossing a land border, really. So, you know, what was Jordan like? He said, oh, well, it's It's a kingdom. There's a king of Jordan, and it's a democracy, loosely. And, well, actually, it's not very wealthy. It doesn't have as much oil as everybody else in the Middle East. So I said, oh, right, okay. And signature dishes, because it always comes down to food in our family. So, you know, what was the signature? Well, actually, it's something you can't get in Israel. It was goat's meat cooked in milk. And why was that? Because you can't cook in milk under Jewish arrangements. So it was interesting that what was defining a different place for him was the diet and what they could eat. And that had been the case for hundreds of years for the Jews. And suddenly, all that was going to be changing. And the change would be about what they were like as people on the inside, not just, although it might be seen as external practice in some ways, the way they conducted their lives with each other, but what was on the inside was going to be what mattered. The third thing is that Peter had to be willing to change. Okay? Are we willing to change when God speaks and adjust our thinking about something? If you've been a Christian any length of time, I would hope, I might be completely wrong on this, somebody might correct me later, that you will have changed your minds at some point about things that you first held dear, that you thought Christianity was about. Hopefully you've grown up a bit and understood a bit more about the gospel and adjusted your thinking about things as you've understood it. This is happening to Peter, and I want you to listen very carefully to this bit, what I say now, because this is important. What happened, his mindset change, was in line with what the Old Testament taught, okay? And what Jesus taught about the gospel and the good news. It wasn't just a good idea that sprang up at that point. If they look back through the Old Testament, they would find evidence that God always intended that the good news would be for all nations. Right back with Abraham, God talks to him and says, you will be a blessing for everybody, all nations throughout time. It wasn't just to be limited to these chosen people. And that Peter had to adjust his thinking, and this is what he did, this dramatic experience finally sort of opened up that whole issue for them and the authorities in Jerusalem that they were going to have to, or God wanted them to bring the good news, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles also. So that step change in their approach had to be under God. It was God asking them to change. It wasn't something they decided for themselves. And so often you hear people coming up with all sorts of suggestions about things they want to do or things they want to get involved in. They say, but God told me to do it. And if it doesn't look as if it's in line with what Scripture's saying, we need to be very wary, okay? God doesn't contradict himself in that way. They were going to be, in Acts 1:8, it talks about them being witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the point was, it wasn't just the Jewish end of the earth, it was for all people everywhere, so that everybody could be blessed by what happens. Perhaps at the moment you're thinking about things that you want to adjust in your thinking. Just actually almost everyday things, like I want to adjust my thinking about somebody I know, somebody at church, somebody at work. And you may need God's help to do that. And God is willing to help you change your thinking to line up with what he wants for you. And that might be a thing that you need to think about at the moment. How can I adjust my thinking to line up with what God wants?